Welcome to the Good Fiction Podcast. Join us as we continue with Darkest Darker Dark, Episode 12. Nathan was really wanting to get into the bathroom. Sharing the same bathroom with Debbie had worked out okay for a while, but now it was really starting to be a pain, especially lately. She'd been spending more and more time in there every morning. This particular morning was one of the worst. She had been in there at least an hour. Good thing it was Saturday morning or she'd made him late to school. It wasn't that he had to use it, but more like the bump that had popped up on the side of his face overnight. It was driving him nuts, so much so that he decided to wait by the door for Debbie to get finished. Once she finally did, he rushed in and closed the door behind him, giving Debbie only the faintest of smiles. He hopped up on the vanity next to the sink so that he could get as close to the mirror as possible. The smell of vomit was only slightly noticeable, but definitely there. Refusing to let that get in the way of the task at hand, he examined the dime-sized zit, complete with giant whitehead. He squeezed. Pus and blood splattered all over the mirror in tiny droplets. He repeated, and there was another volley of grossness. He kept on until nothing was left to squeeze, and he washed his hands. Now he could turn his attention to the other task at hand. The fact that the past week or so the bathroom had smelled like vomit every morning. Had Debbie been puking every morning? He knew she was smoking weed all day every day, but that wouldn't cause someone to puke. Not that he had ever heard of, anyway. She finished the bottle of scotch she'd kept from her dad's liquor cabinet a while back. He had been with her when she did that and was positive there wasn't any more alcohol. He was with her every night, and she wasn't drinking. Strange. He needed to ask her about it. It really seemed to be getting severe, like she was sick or something. What really bothered him was that she wasn't saying anything about it. It was kind of like her little planned meeting with Marshall. He still hadn't confronted her about that, and she hadn't said anything. It didn't matter. He had devised his plan and was going to stick to it. He was going to follow her. Somehow he'd do it. There wasn't any way he was going to be able to use the car. Mom and Dad just weren't there yet with him. Debbie had already set her story. She'd told Mr. and Mrs. Calhoun that she needed to spend a few hours at the library getting caught up with some of her schoolwork. They, of course, gladly agreed to let her go and then pick her up. His plan was to follow her when she left the library with Marshall. How? Well, it was a problem. He had a week to kick around in search of a solution. There was only one way, his 10-speed. The bright orange 10-speed that needed a new rear tire and a good dusting had sat unused in the garage for months. He was able to get the bike's tire replaced unnoticed by anyone around the house. He also put a little grease on the chain and cleaned it up to a point that convinced him that it would be reliable transportation to execute his plan. The night before, he was able to get out without attracting Debbie's attention. The local branch of the library was almost 2 miles away, but he made it there, hid his bike in a tall stand of bushes that ran across the rear of the building's parking lot, and jogged back home, all without much notice. Debbie had asked where he was. He simply told her he was taking a walk. There, that part of his plan had been executed completely. Saturday was different, though. Part two of the plan had to be executed now, and he wasn't too sure he was going to be able to pull it off. He sure was going to try, though. The morning was uneventful. He spent a little time with Debbie on the patio in the backyard. The sun had come out, and except for the occasional gust of cool air, the sunny skies provided warmth that had been unknown in a while. Come to think of it, not since the funeral had it been so warm outside. Their time was spent talking about nothing, really. Debbie was overly happy, and Nathan was feeling a little nervous. In fact, what he really wanted was to get on with things. The time arrived, as time does. The future quickly turns to the past, and this little situation was no different. Nathan's nervousness about the moment that he'd have to leave in order to be at the library before Debbie got there turned from a point in the future to a place forever positioned in the past. He had been scared that getting out of the house at that point was going to get Debbie's attention to the point of being suspicious. He told her he was going to hang out at his friend Jason's house. Jason was his connection for most of their dope. He explained to her that he'd planned to go over there while she was gone and see what he could come up with for their Saturday night. That base was covered too. There was a little he had stashed just for the occasion in his trusty hole behind the stack of Dad's National Geographics in his closet. That's one thing that had never let him down. That trusty hole in the wall. So he left on foot and he took off toward the library. He'd given himself an hour just to be safe. Way too much time, he thought, but he didn't want to take the chance of Debbie and his mother driving by while he was walking and spotting him. Besides, it gave him time to think. Did she really think he wouldn't question the fact that she was supposedly going to be spending all this time at the library and not want him to come along? Did she think that he was stupid? The more he thought, the angrier he got. She flat out lied to him. How many times had she lied before, he wondered? How many times had he been deceived and not known about it? His pace picked up as he thought about her sitting there on the patio only minutes before. Her long hair filled the air with that sweet perfume shampoo each time a breeze swept by them. Her bare feet tucked neatly under her tiny trim body. The perfectness of her pretty face was clear in his mind, as was her bright brown eyes. How could something so beautiful lie? She did, though. This was a fact. A last-minute change of plans had Miller picking up Debbie from the library for the big Starbucks rendezvous. Nathan made it to the library in plenty of time. He checked to make sure the bike was still in its hiding place, and it was. He found a spot on the corner of the parking lot and sat down. He couldn't be seen from the street or by most of the cars in the lot, so he would be safe while waiting. He didn't have to wait long before the action started. His mother was at the front curb that led to two large glass double doors of the building's entrance. Debbie hopped out, smiled and waved at Mrs. Calhoun, then trotted up to the double doors. In the short time he had been gone from the house, she had transformed herself into the model of cuteness she was so good at. The bare feet had been replaced with those ankle-high black boots he'd only seen her wear to parties or that over-under club where all the goths liked to hang out. Her hair was braided. This was another thing she only did for parties or the club. The braided hair kind of went with the ankle boots. The look she was going for seemed to call for those things. It both hurt Nathan's heart and made him angry at the same time. Something as stupid as some little ankle boots with spiked heels and some twisted hair could ruin a man's day. He was experiencing the beginning of a determination that would be needed to complete his little task at hand. He retrieved his bike from the hidden spot, not caring that a man with his small daughter was cutting across the parking lot in their minivan and looked at him with puzzled expressions. He positioned himself closer to the exit of the parking lot now, still trying to stay as invisible as possible. The spot he was in now included a cluster of cars, trucks, and SUVs. Propping himself on the seat of the 10-speed, he found a good spot between a Toyota Land Cruiser and a Chevy Trailblazer. He maneuvered with care so as not to bump the other vehicles and set off their alarms. Miller's blue Honda Accord was rolling into the library's driveway, and Debbie was jogging out to greet it before Nathan could check himself to make sure he was seeing what he was really seeing. Good thing he had overheard that last-minute phone call about meeting at the library first. He was able to figure out from what they were saying exactly what they were doing. Debbie had several books clutched across her chest, and her braided hair was caught by a breeze and lifted as the passenger side door opened from the inside. He watched her put the books on the floor and hop in. She was smiling broadly, but obviously shyly. The door slammed and her and Mr. Marshall were off. Nathan pressed hard on his pedals as he fought an ever-increasing wind that seemed to be pushing him backwards. He only let them have a short head start, but already he was falling behind. Still, though, the blue Accord was in sight. Red lights were the key. As long as Marshall was getting stopped by them, Nathan was getting a chance at catching up to him at just the right distance to keep from being spotted. How long he'd be able to keep it up, though, remained a question. There really was no telling where they were going. Nathan figured it had to be somewhere close, though. The teacher didn't strike him as someone who wanted to spend a lot of his time driving. Where they were going to end up still remained an open question. There was yet another open question. What if he were able to keep up with them? What then? That part of the plan hadn't been addressed yet. Oh, it had entered his mind, but he quickly pushed it out. He had to get there first. That was the main objective. His leg muscles didn't take long to start screaming at him to stop. The constant drug use had really put him beyond the point of a couch potato. The muscles just weren't getting used. The little jog and walk from the library and back the previous day had way more damage done than he'd ever would have guessed. He was sore, and the pain was getting intense quickly. If it hadn't been for the walk to the library to loosen him up, he'd probably had already stopped. The pain was that bad. He pushed on, though. The blue Honda still within sight. There was a left turn on St. Ives, then another two or three blocks, and a right turn on Chimney Rock. On this street, he had to think fast to keep up. The Honda seemed to be hitting all the green lights, causing him to fall further and further behind. If he lost sight of them, he'd have to abandon the whole thing. Whatever that thing was. He even began to wonder if maybe he shouldn't just blow it all off. What was he doing? Didn't he trust Debbie? That's what mature relationships were supposed to be about, right? Trust. But she had lied to him. This one thought caused him to press the pedals even harder in an effort to keep up. When he reached the next intersection, the light had changed to red. The cars had begun to line up, but the blue Honda had made it through. There were four choices: straight, right, left, or quit. To the left was a supermarket. To the right, a strip mall. Straight ahead was another subdivision with houses similar in size and age to his parents' house. He knew Marshall didn't live in a house, but an apartment. The question was that where they were going? He wasn't going to quit. So then he was down to left and right. He chose left. It was a guest, but that's what he chose. He cut through the parking lot of the supermarket, cutting off at least a minute of his pursuit time, dodging empty baskets, backing SUVs, and people pushing cart loads of groceries. He was quickly riding on the smooth sidewalk of Jester Lane. There was an intersection ahead. The light was green. He pushed on. The sidewalk stopped at different driveways to various businesses, and he looked and then darted out into the traffic so as not to have to break his speed. Ahead was another intersection. The light was red. The red stood in nice contrast to the blue of the lost car in line. That lost car was the Accord. He'd caught Marshall's Accord again, and he slowed to almost nothing and gave the light time to turn green. He didn't want to come to a complete stop because the precious time to get going again just might be too much. It was much better to have a running start once they took off again. There was a right, another right, then a left. Then they were back on Chimney Rock again. Nathan rolled slowly towards Marshall and Debbie like a wildcat sneaking up on its prey. Nathan got his first glimpse of their destination. A brand new Starbucks was in front of them and they were rolling into the parking lot. This was going to be tricky. Getting close enough to get an idea of what was going on was going to be tough. It would require him to get dangerously close. He wondered how he would explain this away should they see him. He wondered even once more if they got through with this, if it was even worth it. So he pedaled hard and inched closer and closer. There was actually a period of about a minute or so when he was on a sidewalk to the right of the car and less than 30 yards away from them with no obstructed view. The Honda rolled through the parking lot of the Starbucks. Nathan followed, only about 15 seconds behind, but by the time he spotted the car again, it was parked. He let his bike fall to the parking lot as he hopped off. He left it laying there next to a neatly manicured flower bed that included rich, dark mulch and hardy evergreen bushes lined with huge stones. The flower bed smelled freshly watered and seemed to divert Nathan's attention just long enough for the slamming of two car doors to bring him back to task. Bent at the waist, his hands out to either side, he crept to the corner of the building and peered around. Debbie and Mr. Marshall were walking away from the car. Once they got their backs turned toward him, he followed. He'd need to get close to see just exactly what was going on. A couple walked past, then hellos were mumbled. Nathan inched closer now, still undetected. He watched as they walked into the Starbucks. Once, Nathan had been watching C-SPAN and saw President Clinton sign a bill into law. He remembered seeing the president mouth the word "done" as he finished his signature. In a way, that's how he felt. Done. But he wasn't, though. The tough choice was still to come. Thank you for listening. Join us next time as we continue with Darkest Darker Dark. I'm Rodney Mathers. Goodbye for now.